skies so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Tawn Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Great to be with you. The sun is out, the days are getting longer, and I spent an hour outside in my yard yesterday, Tawn. Life is good.
Life is really good. The weather is bouncing all over the place, but this weekend is going to be a great opportunity to get outside and just get things done.
Just breathe, for one thing. I went out and just cleaned up some, of the dead leaves and the, just the perennials that didn't get cut back, and man, it felt good.
Oh, it does.
One little space in my life.
It does.
Looks good.
And right now, it's late February. The nurseries are shipping a little bit, and it's not like you can bop in and just get everything you need. But I've dug around my yard a bit, and there's areas the ground is thawed out. And so if you need a tree or, a shrub or something, and the ground's thawed out, you might be able to get it in and just be done with it.
Right. The bulbs are blooming. Tulip bulbs aren't quite there yet. They're out in huge form at my yard, actually growing in the grass now. So we'll talk about that later.
We will. Hellebores, I've seen those already blooming. That's a little early for them, but they're out too.
Yeah, it's just been beautiful weather. This morning, plant of the week, tulips, because they are, they're getting ready to do their thing as well. So let's talk about tulips. And are there, most people know you plant tulips in the fall and they come up in the spring, but are there varieties that you plant in the spring and they come up in the fall?
No, there's not. Last week we were talking about trying to find a plant of the week. And so we'd kind of discussed tulips and bulbs. And I found an article from the state government's WaterWise folks about fall bulbs. And even though it talks about getting these in, the tulips and the other bulbs are just such great options for WaterWise landscaping.
Because they don't take that much water.
They don't. They do not. And they're native to areas of Asia and Eastern Europe, though most of the ones we grow with a climate really similar to Utah. It may be a bit wetter, but what they do is come out in February, March, April, into May when there's still moisture and it's cooler and not everything is leafed out yet. And so there's more available sunlight and they will complete, I don't want to say their life cycle, but what they're going to do, they complete it in the spring and then they go dormant. And as we're getting hotter and drier, they're done for the year. And so they're just a great option that rarely require irrigation that give you so much spring beauty.
Right. And they take so little care as well.
They do. And let them grow. They rarely require fertilizer. If you want to, you can put some on there, but they don't generally need it. And let them grow, and then when the flowers have died back, just cut the flower heads off, not the whole plant. Let them go dormant so the leaves will turn yellow, and at the point when they've turned yellow, you can just cut them back, and you're done for the year.
What is the lifespan of tulip bulbs?
Lifespan depends on the particular type. Most of them, and this is just tulips alone, it's going to be about 3 to 4 years before they decline.
Why is it the older varieties seem to last a lot longer? I have some in my yard that have been there, probably a couple decades.
Less hybridization. And so the two types of tulips that are going to last a lot longer are what are called species tulips. And that's exactly what they are. They're the original forms of tulips. And the flowers are a little smaller. They're gorgeous. But they are just more diminutive. And then you have what are called the Darwin tulips. And the Darwins and the species are the two that, if you have them for 20, 25 years, it's going to be one of those two.
You know, Thanksgiving Point has their tulip festival every year, and I'm not sure if they do this afterwards, but they would actually sell the bulbs in bags, and you could go purchase
those. Yes, they still do, and they have volunteers pulling those out, you know, because it's such a high transition for their plants. It could be that you three in high-profile areas in a given year, you might have the plant, the annuals and bulbs swapped out 3 to 4 times a year.
Yeah, when do they actually put those on sale, like June or something?
In June, after the tulip festival, June, July, and then you can go get them.
Okay. So explain why it's important to let the leaves go back to yellow and not to cut them before that.
They need to build energy in their roots and the bulb and the roots. And so if you cut them back right when they're done blooming, they may come back the next year, but they're going to come back smaller and they probably won't blossom. And so you need to leave them alone and let them build up that energy so that they can actually send up a flower the next year.
Okay, I have to ask you about the hydroponic tulips, because anybody who went into Costco in the last couple of weeks, that's what I got for Valentine's Day, were these tulips that were grown over water. I'm not going to say in water because the bulb itself isn't in the water. That's something I haven't seen before.
There's always new things coming out like that. And what they will do is put the tulip bulbs into refrigeration, because they require, depending on the variety, anywhere from an 8 to 12 week cold period. It's called a stratification. Mm-hmm. And when the tulips start to just pop out roots at the end of the stratification, they will place them in the trays, or they'll
kind
already
of a
have
mesh
them.
Kind of
yeah,
thing.
And let them root through into water that has nutrient solution in it. So it is a hydroponic situation, and let them bloom out. Now you can try to save them when they're done blooming, you know, gently put them into the ground and see if they will come back. But they're meant to be a longer-term flower display.
So they may not come back in the ground
next year? They
may
not. When you do that with tulips, it always stresses them. And so if you did put them in the ground, I suspect they probably wouldn't flower the next year, but the following year they would.
Okay. So it's not going to kill them?
Probably not.
Okay. So what about if we want to grow them hydroponically again? Can we do that?
That's pushy.
Oh, come on. What am I
going to
do with that face?
It's that old push your luck game show that you'd get a whammy on that.
So could I buy tulip bulbs next fall and try it again?
You can. I mean, if you want to try it, what you would do is purchase them and actually not immediately put them into refrigeration and just hold them. And you need to count about 12 weeks ahead of when you need them, and then put them in your refrigerator. And what you would do is just get a Tupperware or something similar with some sand or potting soil that's wrung out moist level. So moist to the level of wrung out sponge, and just lay them in there and let them refrigerate for that 2 to 3 months and check them weekly. And when you start to see little roots forming, that's when you would put them into the hydroponic solution.
Okay. I'm going to do that, because what am I going to do with this beautiful vase now? I mean, the tulips are gorgeous, and I thought, oh, I'm going to plant them in the ground. And I thought, well, what if I could do this again?
You could probably, even before that, and you'd need to have them a little isolated, but you could do paper whites.
Okay.
In November and December.
Okay. So when you are going to put them in the ground, do you cut off the roots or just leave the roots on there?
It'd leave the roots intact as much as you can, and that's where the difficulty comes from. Is that the roots that go into the water aren't prepared for the soil. And so when you put them in the ground, you need to dig actually not just a hole as wide as the bulb, but wider. And you're going to need to fit the soil into a cone shape for those roots to fit on, and then bury them in so that the leaves are above ground. And it's not easy.
Okay, I'm glad I asked that question. I was just going to dig a hole and throw them in there, so, you know.
Yeah, and just because they're actively growing, and when things are actively growing like that, they become quite difficult to transplant.
Okay.
So it's just one of those things that, in theory, yes, you can do it, but it takes a lot of care.
Okay, And this morning, the plant of the week is the tulip. We've been talking about its water-wise properties, and you can find out more about it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Take a break. Coming back with your calls and your comments. The phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. Text us at 57500. Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Let's go to our phone lines. Timothy is on the line in Mill Creek. Good morning, Timothy. What was your question?
Hi, guys. I'm under the impression for my rose bushes that I'm supposed to trim them basically almost to the ground or leave, you know, 4 or 5 inches in the fall. I procrastinated doing that this year, and I wondered, is it too late for me to trim my rose bushes down in preparation for the spring?
Well, whoever told you that needs to reevaluate their life choices. You may have them sit in a rocking chair facing the wall to think about giving you false information. So I'm glad you didn't.
It looks so good during the winter.
Yeah, you. Okay. I'm glad you didn't. If they're the hybrid tea roses that you would cut and bring in the house, you know, as a flower display, mid-March is actually when you prune those. And you prune them to between knee and thigh height, depending on their age and size, and prune them back anywhere to 3 or 4 to 5 or 6 main canes.
Okay. Now, these are pretty small bushes. You know, calling them a bush is probably being generous. They're pretty small, and they line my fence, and they produce a very small rose. I'm sorry, I don't know the specific type. But so they never get, I mean, they probably grow, you know, in the late spring and early summer, they probably grow to about a height of 3 or 4 feet.
Okay, and do they give you the long-stemmed roses, or are they more of a bush rose?
They do.
Okay, so yeah, and this, I would do, wait till mid-March, and just, I would prune them minimally, and if you've got good canes on them, cut away the side branches, and just leave, if the canes seem they're alive, just leave them intact this year.
Okay, great. Hey, thank you.
Great, thanks so much for your call this morning. People are excited about roses. Two other listeners texting about roses as well. So mid-March, knee height.
Knee height to thigh height, depending on their maturity and vigor.
And 4 to 5 canes.
4 or 5 canes, yeah. If they are 20 years old, it is fine to leave 6 or 8 canes and leave them a little higher. If they are younger, you know, 4 or 5 years old, then around knee height is fine.
Okay, that made a big difference because mine are definitely older. Okay, next person wants to know, is it too early to trim back their ivy?
Well, I would wait for mid-March, but ivy's
nothing
just
kills
ivy.
It.
No,
nothing,
it is, nothing kills it.
It is like totally, ugh.
Yeah.
I love the ivy when I planted it. It was beautiful for the first 10 years, and now it's just taken over the place.
Yeah, I saw a home where the homeowners had it growing on a brick house. It was an older home, and they went in and ripped it all off, and the brick was, the exterior of the brick was really damaged because the English ivy and Boston and Virginia creeper both, all three of them will actually exude a calcium lime into wood and brick to stick. And so they literally cement themselves. And so every vine you rip off, you're ripping a little bit of lime out of there that rips the brick or the wood.
I have them on my posts on my front porch. And when I rip them off, they've left just this awful, I'm going to have to go through and get a sander or something to get that off.
Yeah.
It is cement. There is no doubt about it. And it's worse than cement. Cement will chip off. This stuff just is like a glue cement.
It is. When I see buildings like that, I was like, man, I hope you wanted that because it's either permanent or you're going to have a lot of damage.
Matt is on the line in American Fork. Good morning, Matt. What was your question?
Hi. I was just wondering, we're looking at trying to solarize our garden this summer. And just wondering if you could kind of talk me through the process involved in that and what materials I would need to do something like that.
Can you turn down your radio? I think we're on a little bit of a delay in case someone curses. So there's a little bit of feedback.
So we can hear ourselves talking. All right, go ahead.
Is it not working?
That's better. Thank you.
Are you there?
Yes,
yeah, we're
right
here. So what I would recommend doing is you need construction grade UV resistant clear plastic. So you can pick that up from a hardware store, online, or places like Home Depot, maybe. It's fairly easy to find, and you want a thicker mill. I don't know the exact, but you don't want to be using the drop plastic that you do for painting. You need it thicker. So you stretch it over the area you want to solarize, but you want the ground level, and the soil is slightly moist, at least, and then you'll do that sometime early to mid-May, and you may get plant growth underneath initially, but as we get into the high 80s and 90s, you leave it for at least 6 weeks, but better to do it from May through September. And so when you peg it down, if you have to do seams, overlap it at least a foot and then use landscape staples, push down in or rocks or something so that your seam doesn't blow up and there's not opportunity for weeds to grow around and up. And then around the sides, it needs to be stretched fairly tight and then secured. What I like to do is put rocks on the edges or if you have access to them, but just a shovel of dirt, you know, so that it's completely covered and so the wind can't get under it. And you may put rocks here and there in the middle just to help keep that plastic down.
Okay. If I have like little PVC pipe risers because of our drip system in there, do I just go around those?
You can. It may get hot enough to melt or warp the PVC.
Okay.
And so I don't know if they'll unscrew and then you could put some caps in or something, or, you know, another thing you could try, but it'll get 120 to 160 degrees underneath that plastic. And so I suspect that you may have some of them heat up and not melt, but just get soft and bend.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, Matt, thanks so much for your call this morning. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Number to call, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open, or you can text us at 57500.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255 or your text questions at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says they had blister mites on their pears last year. And after they prune today, should they spray a dormant spray as well?
No, it's too early. I wouldn't. It's not that they're necessarily wasting their money, but it's just too early. So I would download what's called the USU Home Orchard Pest Management Guide. It's a mouthful.
Wow.
But the Home Orchard Pest Management Guide has pictures of the bud stages. And if you leaf through it, it will make recommendations on when to do things in early spring and late winter according to the bud stage. And so it'll go from tight bud to the progression in the different fruit trees we grow until they're past bloom. And it will give you the picture and the stage where you want to do the dormant spray. But I compliment them for being on top of this because a dormant spray can really control those blister mites well. But they just need to wait. And so I would download that guide. Also subscribe to the USU Pest Lab updates. They're free. And just a quick search online for USU Pest Lab update subscription will bring you to it. And there's fruit and vegetables that you can subscribe to. And we send those out for free. And we don't share emails or spam or anything. But they will also tell you down to about the day you need to do that too.
All right, next listener wants to know, can you use triple 10 fertilizer for trees that are potted in 5 to 20 gallon root pouches?
You can. The rate is something that gets a little hard sometimes because it's probably a lawn fertilizer. And just using you know, ball field approximations. You know, in a 20-gallon container, if the volume is that big, I don't know that I would do more than around a quarter to a third of a cup per mm-hmm. tree. What they should probably do is email J.D. Gunnell, who's a horticulturist in Cache Valley, because his entire professional career revolved around field production of containerized and bald and burlap trees. And one of his research areas was fertilization. And so he'll know how much to put down. And some of it is going to depend on the amount of nitrogen. And so because that triple 10 has 10% nitrogen, you would put double the amount down that you would a 20-0-0 or a 20-20-20. And that's why I'm hedging a little bit. And so if you do a Google search of USU Extension, Cache County, JD's phone number and email will come up. And I would just shoot him an email telling them what you're doing, the fertilizer available, and he can give you some pretty good rates.
Okay. Mark is on the line in Salt Lake City. Good morning, Mark. What was your question?
Hi, I bought a new pickle plant, and I bought a grow light from Amazon. It's a two-prong LED, and like I normally do with plants, I overdo things, and I didn't know how much sunlight it needed, so I just put the LED lights over it as close as I could get it, and then I ran it for days, and to be frank, it started to look kind of gray, and
yeah,
so I cut back on the light, and it seems to be okay, but I really don't know. I'm not educated on how many hours on an LED grow light. It says 6,000 K on it.
Well, a photo period of somewhere between 12 and 14 hours daily is sufficient, and you want it 6 inches above the foliage. So, and then if you can put the plant next to a window, that never hurts, you know, with that supplemental sunlight, but you always have it 6 inches above the foliage. And the plants in my office, we have on grow lights, and their photo period is from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, now another question I just had, since you mentioned it. I have some succulents next to a south-facing window, but I know there's a total difference between being outside and being behind a window. How much good does it do to have any plants next to a window?
It's always good. You want them off to the side, especially in the summer, so that just because of the extra heat from the window, but it's a great place to grow plants. So,
okay, thank you.
Yep, all right, Mark. Welcome. Thanks for your questions this morning. Next listener, Ton, wants to know, is there anything that they can do now or in the near future to prevent the horde of elm seed beetles that they had last year?
Unfortunately, and this just isn't me being sarcastic or mean, but getting rid of the elm trees is the option, because the elm seed beetle feeds on elm seeds. And because Siberian elm, which is kind of a trashy tree that we don't plant anymore, but it's really common along old stream banks and ditch banks and just in our yards even, because those seeds from the Siberian elm are produced in spring and early summer, it's like we've built a big buffet for them and they're there. And so no amount of spraying is going to get rid of them. And so you may try to seal up your house, making sure that cracks in the foundation are caulked around the window wells, the door sweeps. You know, they can fit through under a quarter of an inch gap. And so those door sweeps need to pretty much almost rub on the ground. But it may be better to invest in those sorts of things. And if they are congregating on your house, you might be able to use a horticultural soap to spray them every few days to knock them down to keep them from trying to get in that way. But
that was a very unsatisfying answer.
Until the trees are gone, then you're not going to get rid of them. I mean, there's an old scene from The Matrix where I think Neo goes in to get his fortune told by, I don't remember if they call her the prophet or the oracle.
Okay.
But he goes in and it's not good news. You know, he's not the chosen one, but she's like, even though you're not, have some chocolate chip cookies. They just make things better. That's
Tell
one of those situations.
To go eat chocolate chip cookies for their fulfillment.
Yeah, and do it before the elm seed bugs come out so they don't get into the cookies.
All right. Is it too early to put down Preen?
It is. People are just really chomping
so
at the bit.
I know.
And, I mean, it's cool enough that it's not going to break down quickly, but I've noticed, I mean, the one thing out there that you might put it down for are the Burr Buttercup, and I've noticed that they're already germinating. It seems like they almost germinate under the snow.
So it won't hurt anything if
you put
it down.
It won't hurt anything, but you may miss the mark for a lot of weeds and have to reapply it
in the
spring.
So when should they put it down?
I would start sometime in mid to late March, depending, and then you'll need to read the label, because depending on the soil type, you reapply everywhere, any time from every 6 weeks to a few months. But they're going to have to look at the label. And for the fall weeds, the actual time I would put some Preen down is in mid-September, you know, early to mid-September, because the Burr Buttercup, the cheatgrass, the fillery, there's a lot of these winter weeds that germinate at that period of time. And so if you have Preen in your flower beds then, you're going to catch a lot of them, and it will make things better instead of trying to put it down now, because a lot of these weeds will germinate with soil temperatures at 32 to 35 degrees. And so you've missed the opportunity. And so that pre-emergent actually goes down in early fall.
All right. Before we take a break, you had a Facebook Messenger photo you wanted to talk about.
Well, there's somebody that has some fruit trees that are growing crooked out of the ground. And
they're very small.
They're small. New. If the trees are sturdy and well-rooted, I don't know that I would do anything. You know, we don't like looking at trees with crooked trunks, but it doesn't impact the health of the trees.
But it wouldn't hurt it.
It wouldn't hurt it if the person was gentle. And so what they would do is put a stake in the ground opposite the direction they want the tree to go. And then they are opposite the way the tree is facing. And then they would use some cloth wrapped around the trunk so that they don't score up the trunk. And then they would use some twine or rope and just gently pull the tree back and tie it off to the stake and leave it intact for one calendar year.
Oh,
and that
wow.
will straighten it. But if the person doesn't want to and the trees are well rooted, they're fine.
All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with your phone calls. Sherry, you're up next. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Good morning. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your calls at 801-575-8255. Text us, 57500. Next listener wants to know, Ton, can they fertilize their trees yet? They're not saying what kind of trees, though. And any suggestions for a flowering vine for a trellis? They say they've had very little luck with clematis.
Clematis can be a little tricky. They like to be in full sun, but like to have cool roots. And so what I'd recommend doing if they want to try the clematis is plant it. Look for a variety called Jackman or Jackmanii's, J-A-C-M-A-N-I-I. And that one seems to be the most tolerant of our conditions, resilient, and it lives for several years. Blooms in late spring and early summer with a purple blossom. But that's kind of the starter, clematis, and it's going to be an easier one to grow as far as the spring blooming ones. So other flowering vines, I mean, most of them are going to be pretty aggressive. They could try to find something along the lines of American wisteria. They're not as aggressive as other wisterias, but wisteria would be an option. Then, but there's always the standard honeysuckle and also the trumpet creeper, but both of those are aggressive and they need space. And so I'm assuming if they were trying to grow clematis, that they need something with a little bit more limited size. And so that's why I might try the Jackman or maybe American American wisteria, something like Blue Moon. The other option, I think, would be to maybe try some Morning Glory vine. And this is not bindweed. It is a seed that you plant, and they do get pretty big, but they do die at the end of the season. And so they still will stretch 15 or 20 feet, but you have a reprieve because they die and they bloom all summer.
All right. What about, is it time to fertilize their trees?
They can. I would give it another month. The trees are just breaking. When I say breaking dormancy, they're not leafing out. Mm-hmm. But as the ground thaws, the tree starts to generate new roots and absorb nutrients in preparation for leafing out. And so I would give it until mid-March.
Okay. Sherry is on the line in Harriman. Good morning, Sherry. How can we help you?
Good morning. A couple of years ago, my husband gave me a rose bush for Mother's Day. I planted it, and last summer it was absolutely beautiful, and it bloomed all summer. For Valentine's, he gave me similar, different kind of rose. There's no tag identifying it, but it's obviously much colder right now. And I don't know if it's safe to go out and plant this right now, or should I try to keep it alive till May when it gets warmer?
I would wait until May. I would put it somewhere that you have it in a bright location, a south or a west window. Turn it once a week, and when you water it, just make sure that you don't get a lot of water on the foliage, and keep it away from heat vents so that it doesn't dry the leaves out from that forced air coming out. But if you can get it until May, you definitely can plant it outside.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
All right, Sherry, thanks for your call this morning. We have about a minute here. Ton, next person wants to know if dormant oil can be applied if Fuji apple tree buds are closed with no color showing, or is it too late?
It's too early. It's too early to be putting down dormant oil. So we need to have our gardener's significant other get the loppers. It's actually time to prune a lot of trees. But where you have had your lockers locked up by your significant other, give them the dormant oil until at least mid-March.
All right. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, we'll take your calls following our top of the hour feature, 801-575-8255, the number to call. You can also text us with your questions, 575-00.